Welcome to the American Adventure Podcast. I am Adam Edwards, your host, an avid hunter, fisher, conservationist, and outdoorsman. I plan to bring family, friends, and people that I don't even know to join in and talk everything outdoors. Thank you for listening in, and feel free to add any ideas, topics, or people that you think I should reach out to, or things that we should talk about.
Well, this is Adam Edwards with the American Adventure. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. You know, it's 5:30 after work on a Tuesday, and I just started thinking about why not give the story of Johnny Ringo and, you know, how he originated and everything else. I've posted plenty of times, you know, online about him on Instagram and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I haven't told the full story verbally and getting it written down on a blog and everything else, so... Anyway, I appreciate y'all hopping on and listening in. This is Johnny right here, and that's my buddy Vince. He came up and helped me out get all these awesome pictures of Johnny, and I've left all the other ones at the deer camp. But you can kind of see how he is right there, and that one too. I mean, he's a great deer. You know, it's a fun story to tell because it took me, you know, 5 months to get this deer down. Starting all the way from, you know, Will, the very first knowledge I knew of this deer was Will telling me, hey, you know, I was running the tractor on the backside of the condo stand and, you know, saw a really big body deer come out and run off. He's like, you know, I didn't see how big his rack was. I just knew his body was huge. And so, I mean, that's the only knowledge I need to go and set up some trail cameras. So, you know, I took a weekend and went down there and set up a bunch of trail cameras, got seed ticks all over me. I mean, my feet were swollen. I was on Benadryl for like 2 weeks. Pretty bad. I mean, it was awful. And I had like 100 seed ticks on me. But anyways, back and forth, got tons of pictures. The first place I'd put it out, I'd noticed deer were farther back down this trail. And so the second week, third weekend or something, I don't know, a month later, went back in and moved the camera down a little bit. And then that's when the picture started to show up. You know, first thing I do is see him looking away from me. It was a pretty decent amount of time ago. I'll see if I've got pictures of him. I'm sure I do. But I mean, I've never seen a deer that big on camera, and just for me, personally, I've just never seen it. So it was really cool to see him, you know, one of the very first pictures I opened up after I moved my camera down the trail about 50 yards. And, you know, so I know, okay, I've got me a deer. So 3 weeks later, I come back. And then I got some pictures of them that were just phenomenal, phenomenal. And I wish I had them sitting up right here. But anyway, I'll look for them as we're talking. But, you know, I set up and look for this deer and look for this deer. Here he is. No, that's not him. Sorry. That's not him. And saw these pictures. And here he is right here. I don't know if you can tell too well. This is him from behind. When he's looking away from me, I mean, and obviously, obviously just a gorgeous deer, a great deer. And, I mean, he took my breath away. You know, there he is from the side. I mean, just a gigantic, gigantic deer. And so I immediately knew, okay, I've got a deer to go after. You know, I need to get my stuff set up. So Willie and I we took a lot of time putting other trail cameras out, putting feed out, getting nutrients out. You know, we've taken it pretty serious the last 2 years, 3 years, I guess, 2 years of really putting out a bunch of feed and a bunch of mineral and a bunch of nutrition for our deer, which makes it a lot easier to grow bigger deer. And so, I mean, it all started. We've got our early velvet hunt here in Tennessee. I hunted Ringo then. I never saw him. I had a little four pointer come up near me, right the same path they always come, and it was the same deer that always hangs out with Ringo. And you know, so that day, I mean, I actually watched a video here about an hour ago of that on my tacticam, and you can hear me shaking because I just knew that deer, you know, was one of the deer that show up when Johnny's there. and but didn't see him that weekend. And I'm hunting and I'm hunting and I'm hunting. I hunt every weekend, sometimes maybe even Friday afternoons, maybe Monday mornings. You know, all depending on my schedule. And I mean, I'm hunting sun up to sundown. You know, this deer had completely taken my mind away from everything. And you know, I really, really chased this deer hard, and we went, you know, I literally had never seen him in person until I was able to harvest him while hunting, you know, we were able to sit up in a big field about 300-400 yards away from him, and saw him a couple times in the daylight. And I mean, he was just magnificent. I mean, he looked mean. That's why he kind of got the name Johnny Ringo, from Tombstone. And he's just kind of a mean deer, boss buck. So it's pretty cool to see how he acted and see, you know, how he handled things. But I tell you, I got him on camera every week. Every other day he was on camera. He loved being on camera. He knew where my cameras were. I swear he knew. And, you know, he loved to get right in front of him, just look at him. And then he'd sit up and he'd pose a few times left and right, and then he'd just ease on off. I mean, it was religious, but he never showed up during the day. I never, ever got him on camera, during the day, ever. You know, he was a nocturnal buck completely. He was never out before 4. He was always out before 4 a.m., and he was never out before 7 or 8 p.m. So again, you know, I'm hunting every weekend, 300-400 hours into hunting this deer, and never see him. Season goes on, you know, we do some little bit of killing. I kill a doe actually the day before I took Johnny. You know, mom had unfortunately missed a deer. A couple of the good deer had been killed. But nothing like Johnny. So, you know, the day that I was ended up killing Johnny, I had talked to my buddies the night before, the day of. In the middle of the day, and said, you know, I haven't seen Johnny in the stand. I've hunted the same stand, haven't seen him. Maybe I should move. And they were like, no, you know, just do your thing. I said, all right, I'll give it one more shot, one more evening. And man, I tell you what, I am so glad that I did. Johnny, the night before, I've got a spy point trail cam, and I fully believe in them. I'm on board with those guys, and I fully trust their cameras. They had gotten my trail cam picture of Johnny at 8:53 the night before, and it was the only time he had ever come out in that field at that point in time at night. So I knew something had changed within his pattern. And so, you know, here I go. I get and sit down, and I sit, and I'm in the stand at 1 p.m., 12:30. Don't see a squat. I saw a couple does maybe, you know, at best, and then sun is going down. It is getting very dark. It's starting to mist. It's windy. It's cold. And, you know, I'm putting all my stuff back in my bag. I mean, that's the extent to where I was in this hunt. I put my grunt call up. I put my extra magazine up. I put my all my junk up. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, I look up. And, of course, here 40 yards in front of me coming out of the woods to the left is a doe. And this field goes about 200 yards long. It's about 50 yards wide. And here she comes out of the left. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I guess I should pay attention because there's some movement. And you know, next thing I know, I'm hearing crack, crack. And I said, okay. So I look left again. And here comes another doe coming out of the woods. And they both got the tails up. They're both looking back. They're not skittish, but they're being pushed. I mean, it's very apparent they're being pushed. And I can remember just thinking, like, you know, there's got to be something else. And as soon as that thought came in, I heard crack, crack. Some limbs being stomped up and snapping. And so I threw my binoculars up. I've got some Vortex binoculars that I've run for years. And I love them, love them. They've always done well for me. And the one time I had an issue, sent them back, and they got them fixed and sent back within the week. So thank you, Vortex. But, you know, it's... When I saw him, he was about 10 yards into the woods, and all I saw were his antlers. I saw his right side, which is his right side is a little bit bigger than his left. And all I saw was just big 4 white tines, and I said, okay, that's him. I knew what he looked like. I've looked at his pictures thousands of times. I still do. And, you know, here he came out of the woods chasing these does, and He took two steps, stood right behind the only tree on the left side of this field, and it was the only spot I couldn't shoot at him. And, you know, he looks up and down the field like any big mature buck does. And, I mean, he looked dead into the stand. He looked dead into the stand. I don't know if he knew I was there. I don't know if he, you know, knew about the stand being there. I don't know. But he looked dead into the stand, and he just turned his head back to those does and took two steps. And I gave him the mat, and there he goes looking right up at me, and I just laid the hammer down. It was awesome. It was such an awesome experience. I mean, like I said, I'd worked for months and months on this deer. I'd gone through insane tick bites, which like still it's to this day. I ended up getting poison oak on my arm that ended up causing like, you know, almost a very intense skin infection. You know, and all that work to be put in for this deer. The money, the time, the effort, the sweat and blood. I mean, literally blood into this deer. And so I, you know, pull the trigger. I was shooting my granddaddy, my, you know, late granddaddy, my mom's dad's 30-06. And I had just gotten a brand new Leupold put on it, you know, was treating it right. And just gave him the hammer. And this dude, I mean, this deer buckled and ran back in the woods. And, you know, I hop on my phone immediately and I'm blowing up our group chat saying, oh, got him, you know, I got him, ring goes down, blah, 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 you know, just going crazy. And I get down from my stand, and, you know, I basically fall out of the stand, collect myself a little bit and start easing down the way. And then, you know, I've got the GoPro on me, and I'm like, I should record this. And then I sit there and think, like, man, you know, I don't even know if I want to sit here and deal with this. And so I didn't even record it. Until I found him, and I followed his path back down. Again, it was raining and dark, so I mean there was no blood trail at all. And so I went back down in the woods about 30 yards the way he went, and didn't see squat, didn't see tore up leaves, didn't see blood, of course, and didn't see the deer. And I was lucky enough to have a stream light on me, like that I put on my pistol. It's very bright, very bright. And all I did was just raise that thing up as high as I could in the air, and just started spinning in a circle, literally, just to think, like, okay, maybe I'll see, you know, the white of his butt or his antlers or something. And, of course, I go looking straight down the holler, which I thought he was going, and I go about 90 degrees. And, of course, right when I get 90 degrees, there he is, 50 yards, you know, whatever yards to my right, laid up over a log with his big old rack hanging over the log. And it was such a cool sight. I'll probably remember that sight of the whole thing the most, because I can remember it was misting and dark, and then my flashlight was so bright that, you know, when it hit it and then when I saw him, I mean, it was just like the light was just like beaming off of him. And it was super, super cool vision to have. And that'll probably be my favorite, like most locked in memory of that was seeing his big old shiny rack laying over that log. So we get him up, Big Willie and my Uncle Pup and my mom come to the other side of the farm and pick me up, and we get down there and bring him up to the field. I'm so jacked up, I drag him up the whole deer up to the top of the hills, like 100 yards and just straight uphill. But I was so jacked up, it didn't even matter. And so, you know, it was just awesome. And so we got him, we got tons and tons of pictures. You know, I called my buddy Vince. It's just like, dude, you're not going to believe it. And he's like, oh, I believe it. And so, you know, he got down the next day, and he stayed the night, and we sat and got tons and tons of pictures, and had some really, really good memories. And it was just awesome to be a part of. And you know, it's made for social media. You know, I wouldn't have known Vince without this Instagram thing. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten these photos without him, because I didn't have a good camera. And, you know, I didn't know anyone that would want to or take the time to come and do that, you know, in the moment. And it was a really cool story. So, you know, big shout out to Vince for his help with that. He took some phenomenal photos, and it'll definitely be an awesome memory. Because like I said, I mean, you know, I posted all over social media. You know, everybody knew I was, not everybody, but whatever. You know, people knew I was chasing this deer. It was, to me, it was a big deal because, you know, I've killed a deer that was a very large deer back when I was like 12 or 13, but I don't really remember it. You know, you don't remember that kind of stuff when you're young. Like this deer, I mean, I'm going to remember everything about this deer. The injuries, the turmoil, the freaking depression of not getting him for so long, not ever seeing him. You know, there I'd go 2-3 weeks without having anything on camera. It was October, mid-late October that happened. And, you know, so I got worried maybe he had died because we've had some really bad chronic wasting here. And blue tongue, you know, whatever you want to consider it. And so, you know, I got worried about that. And I still, to this day, believe that his body size, he lost every bit of 30 pounds or more than how he was in mid-October when I saw him, mid-October to when I killed him, mid to late November. It was on Thanksgiving Day. But again, you know, he had lost so much weight. And I know the rut takes weight off, but he had just lost a lot of weight. So I actually thought that he may be getting sick. But, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. The story of Ringo is insane. I've made a photo book. I'm getting him mounted. He's going to be on a big old wooden thing, and he's gonna be up on a cedar tree, and man, it's just gonna be so awesome. So, but anyway, I appreciate y'all listening to this. I mean, I'll sit here and ramble. I can talk hunt stories all day, and that's, you know, what I'm gonna sit here and do, I guess. So, anyway, I hope y'all didn't mind listening in or sitting here watching me babble and talk hunting and stuff. But you know, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, I hope you do. So, anyways, thank you all. Appreciate it. Hope everybody's had a good day and a good evening. And, again, this is Adam Edwards talking about Johnny Ringo with the American Adventure. And I appreciate you all listening in.
Thank you all for listening in. Let me know what you thought. Good and bad. Doesn't matter to me. So I appreciate you all for listening in. And I hope everybody has a good day.